generation of the upright will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth, riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious, compassionate, righteous man. All the people said,
amen.
Reschedule that time for this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock in case you were wondering what We got with us Rod Klombeck with us today. He is the director of Okoboji Ingham Bible Camp, and we're going to hear from him in a little bit. Just hang on there, Rod. And just want to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, it's only a paddle. I thought it was a baseball bat. Just want to let everybody know that you can read the bulletin for yourself. And I just want to give you some things that aren't in the bulletin today. Wayne Sunday, just be mindful of him for prayer. He's out going to get a new shoulder in Rochester on Tuesday of this week. So be mindful of Wayne. Pray for him and Karen these days as he goes through that. You know, we prayed for him and he had a valve to be put into his heart, and now he's got a shoulder to replace. And then there's a back issue after that. So just one thing after another. Keep Orville Belkin in mind. He's here today, which is good to see. You know, he's needs to be able to walk and go fishing. That's what he needs to do. So we're glad that Orville is here. But keep him in your prayers. And Donna Chuck Teelberg. Donna's had some back surgery. Her nerve endings were kind of burnt off her back, and yet she still has pain. But it's a different kind of a pain. You might have to do that again. Kathy Vermes is going to see the doctor on Tuesday with her broken foot. Hopefully she misses being here and she keeps in contact with some of you. And I think Don has been looking out his window to see the traffic who's been coming in here. And we got to wave to him today. We don't know if he saw us or not. We did wave to him out there. And so you're being viewed. We don't have a real camera here, but we got some guy to watch you as you come to church. And then just think of the great grandbabies that have arrived, that you see some of them that are in there. And one that's not in there is normally your grandbaby, Madeline. What's the latest with her?
Well, she finished the chemo, okay. And they had a big celebration party.
Okay.
But now she has to endure the aftermath of that chemo.
Okay.
Then they reintroduce her stem cells. Hopefully that's
Madeline has got cancer. She's 2 years old. And so there's just a lot of things going on with her, and it's just a real tough thing to follow with that. Keep praying for Madeline and the family, and Norma's great granddaughter there as well. You're all aware of Dave Conde's memorial service that's coming in March, Saturday, 10:30 in March is when that will be here.
March 11th.
Oh, I just said 11th today. I just said Saturday, March. The 11th.
Okay.
That's right, yeah. And then I'll be leaving. Sharon couldn't be here today because she's up and down. And she thought she could come, and then she said, I can't come. And then last night she said, I'm not going to church today. Richard, her brother-in-law, passed away on Wednesday. And so we're going to be going up to Fergus Falls, Minnesota after the church here today. And thank you for your cards and your condolences for many of you that have expressed that to us. And I'll pass that on to Sharon as we drive up there. We'll be back tomorrow night sometime. The funeral is tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Fergus Falls at the church that Richard and his brother and some other people just really poured their lives into to build and add on and all kinds of things. He's just a real, real great guy. And to remember Karen Weber, who was told this last week that she's got pancreatic cancer. And so she doesn't want any phone calls or any texts or anyone stopping by with anything, but you can send her a card. At least do that. And she just needs some time to process this whole thing. And the family has been up here to see her. And she's just such a unique lady, as many of you know her, and she's kind of like a cat. She doesn't want anyone to know what's going on with her, really, but she says pray.
Yeah.
Just pray. And it wasn't the word she wanted to hear, but she knew something was going to happen. And so you can read what else is in the bulletin. You know, Super Bowl is next Sunday. And you see a play on the words there, Super Bowl, you can put your soup in the container, the tote bag, the totes out in the foyer, of what team that you are rooting for. And I know there's probably only one can that's in the Eagles, and that's Brian's. And the rest will probably be the Chiefs. I don't know. But don't give Brian a hard time. But there might be others, Brian, that you get to know that are Eagle fans as well. So then I think Pat Garrels is going to tell me next Sunday, as far as she'll count to see how much soup is in there, to say who won here at Harbor of Joy. Who's going to win, do you think? Don't say it. You win the next week. So, how was that, Rob? Come on up here. I'll give you a mic. And tell us about what's happening out there in Bible Camp Land.
Thank you, Pastor Tim.
You are welcome.
So great to be with you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship with you. Can you read this from the staff and the board of directors at Ingham Okoboji? There's a couple things going on this weekend, actually, even. There's a crafting retreat that's mostly ladies. I think it's all ladies, actually. And there's also we just finished a two-day board retreat. Praying and visioning and considering together where God continues to lead Ingham Okoboji. The mission of Ingham Okoboji is to know Jesus Christ and to make Christ known to all. And thank you for being partners in that mission. That's really what I want to say the most loudly today. Thank you for being partners in that mission. What could be more important than people knowing Christ and walking with Christ for a lifetime? So thank you for being partners in that. We are so thrilled to see that God is working in and through you with that mission as well. And I continue to be so grateful for the ways that you have been reaching out in this community and in the world. And we're grateful to be part of that outreach that you do. So thank you so very much. Next thing I want to say is we need your help looking for summer staff. And we have had some great staff from your church. And not a lot of camp counselors, but we've had some other great staff as camp medics. Thank you. And as helpers with our maintenance. And we have had some other staff as well. So we're looking for high school juniors and seniors on up. There's not a top limit to come and be a part of our staff. But we are looking especially for the largest number of people that are young adults, college-aged. Don't have to be in college, but about that age. And if you would pause and wonder, who do we know that could be a great light for Jesus to a bunch of other young people, even younger, for a summer at camp? If you know someone, I hope you will grab one of these at our display. It talks about what it takes to be a summer camp counselor. It talks about we pay them and the schedule and the great benefits. The things that they will learn and practice and come away from the summer with, as well as getting to help others know Jesus Christ. And we do have a lot of fun too. So that's the number one thing I want to ask for your help with this morning that you might not be on your radar. We have 25 of the 70 staff we're looking for. So we still have a couple months, but we don't want to wait for the last day, of course. So if today you think of someone, I hope you will call them, email them, or somehow reach out to them. Or if they live with you, you don't have to do any of those things. You say, you should work at camp. Some of them might be your relatives, your neighbors. Someone else in your community. Then I want to invite you to, some of you may have heard of Jonathan and Jana Swenson, but there are speakers at our marriage retreat next weekend. And this is for all couples of all ages. Couples that were married yesterday, or 50 or 60 years. Maybe there's some 80-year marriages here, or more than 60 anyway. But it's a great retreat. Encourage you to think about coming. I bet there's someone here still that would really like to be a part of that great weekend. And you can stay at camp or you can commute. And then there are a couple of you that are old enough, mature enough to be a part of our Elderversity. which really kicks off our summer. It's a great time to meet our summer staff. We have a great speaker, and think about coming to our Eldiversity. Then the other thing I want to lift up is this this summer brochure talks about all of the summer, and I hope you'll think about taking one and either keeping it to pray for the ministry at camp, or to invite someone else, or both, or to come yourself. And I want to highlight family camp as an option for you. Many of you have kids that are grown, but you have grandkids. There's a growing number of grandparents that bring their grandkids to family camp. The middle generation seems too busy, but the older and younger generation is able to come, and many times as a family, to family camp. That might be just right for you. Then I also want to, some of you got this in the mail because it was our fall newsletter, but I tell you what, the pages in here that are the best, I mean, all of us like pictures, right? But the pages in here that are the best are the two pages of quotes from summer campers, because God is changing lives. Mm-hmm. It's so awesome to hear them say how they came to understand God's love for them, sometimes for the first time. Or how they had some other struggle and God helped them while they're in Bible camp. So I invite you to grab one of those if you haven't had a chance yet. If you have the time to read two pages of quotes, I believe they will encourage you. And they'll help you, I think, hopefully, they will help you think about the great ways God is working at Bible camp. But honestly, even way more than that, to realize God is alive and changing lives in this world. And I know you see it lots of other places, but isn't it a great encouragement every time we see that and recognize it, because God is absolutely doing things. I know he's doing things here. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning with you. I better stop talking, except I do have a quick video to share. It's about 2 minutes long as I close. Thank you. May God bless you, and may God continue to bless our work together. Thank you.
Please consider how you can partner in this ministry and make impact in your family, your community, and the world. Invite others to register for camp or apply to be a part of our 2023 summer staff. Support the ministry through your time or financial resources. And pray for the ministry of Ingamokamoji Bible Camps.
We have prayer requests, Lord, as well. I just think of Bob Jensen, who they were planning on, Bob and Carol were planning on coming today, and then he's got some back issues here this morning, and they're planning on going to Arizona in the morning, but they're not sure if that's going to work out or not. So I just pray for Bob, lift him up before you, and just give him your touch, Lord, that he can do what he and Carol are planning on doing. If not, then it's your plan that he lays there and keeps his mind looking heavenward to you, knowing that you will undertake and do what needs to be done on his behalf. And so, Lord, we just thank you for everyone that is here today. We pray for the Bible camp and for Rod and Dan and the many others who work out there, Sarah, that you would meet the needs that they have for this coming year as well. Thank you for his presence here with us today. And we just are grateful to know that you came and you, because you loved us and that you care about us and that you are the one that when we have you, when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, we have everything. We have everything. Help us to be mindful of that. And so I just pray that you continue to work in our hearts this morning as we worship you and as we put our eyes on the cross and what you did for us there, and that you promise us eternal life to be with you forever. And that is always a very good thing to know in our hearts and our lives, that we are with you when our days on this earth have come to an end. And we don't know when that will be. But thank you for the faith that you give to us and the assurance you give to us of knowing that that is where we are going and that's where we're headed, or to our real home in heaven with you. So thank you for everyone that's here today. May your blessing be upon each one. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lisa.
One last announcement. We have a community table at Founders Hall at the Bible Conference on this Thursday. And so if you are going to bring your donating bars and cookies, if you want to put them in a kitchen of the church here, I'll pick them up around 3 or so. And well, have them here by 3. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. And then if you get, we're looking for help too, extra hands for serving that night and for, you know, keeping things supplied and everything for that evening. We'll be serving from 5:30 to 6:45. So if people that would like to help with that, about 4:30, if you'd want to meet at the Founders Hall on Thursday, this Thursday, that would be great. So thanks.
In the darkness, we were waiting. Without hope,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you from our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
The song we share together now is a combination, the traditional Just As I Am, with an arrangement of that as well, Just As I Am, with Travis Cottrell.
Yeah.
you can sit down.
I think it was a record.
You standing up here.
And I'll invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. And I realize that I know what time it is. I've been trying to think of how I can say what I want to say in just a real condensed Reader's Digest form. But let's hear the words of Jesus as he teaches and as he speaks here in the Sermon of the Mount, which is chapters 5, 6, and 7, is the longest discourse, the longest message that is written about what Jesus taught and preached on. We're just going to look at a little section. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter. You will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. May you help us this morning to hear what you mean when you say these words, even though it was over 2,000 or about 2,000 years ago, they're still pertinent today. They're still for us today. So open our ears and our hearts to you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to tell you the hook in this portion of Scripture. It's in verse, it's actually the last verse. Verse 20 is the hook. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Oof, that. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this word righteousness this past week. Jesus speaks about it often. So did John the Baptist. Righteousness basically means this, that you are right, or you're just going along with what is right in God's eyes and in His Word. How many of us here are righteous this morning? And we'd all have to say that none of us are. We would like to be, but remember who we are. We are sinners. There's times we do right things, and there's times we mess it all up. When Jesus speaks these words, his audience is quite large. And when they would hear him talk about that their righteousness had to be beyond the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of their day, or the teachers of the law, all of them would do what we would probably do here this morning as well. We just kind of shake our heads and go like, well, if I have to surpass the holy guys, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or the Bible camp director, I don't have a chance. But Jesus says you have to surpass the righteous. Our righteousness has to go beyond of those who claim to be righteous and who are the closest in knowing what God's word says, and did the teaching in the temple and in the temple area type of a thing. And remember who the enemies of Jesus were the most? Who were they? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so Jesus would criticize these guys. And here's the reason. That you get to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount and you'll come to those verses that say this. After Jesus is done for these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law, which would also be the Pharisees. There was something about Jesus' teaching and what he said that the people just was like a bee to honey. They would be attracted to it. And here's the reason. Whenever Jesus spoke, he was always referring to what was going on inside of a person. What was going on in your heart? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were only concerned about the outward appearance. I remember being in the military, and I've said this to probably a number of you here. I go like, you know, one of the things that taught me in the military is when we'd have the big inspection of the year. All the big wigs, all the high brass, the big brass guys were going to come through and inspect what you were doing. When that was going to happen, do you know what we did? We had to make sure that all of our trucks in the motor pool were washed and clean and shiny. We had to make sure that our bay floors were all swept and clean, and if it needed paint, they would be painted. And so that when the brass came through, they would just kind of see how nice everything looked. But they never talked to one mechanic. I was a mechanic. And so when they would come by, everybody's kind of like, just look busy. And as long as everything looked nice, that's what they were after. Now, that's just not me. I'm going like, well, how come these trucks are a deadline? How come we can't use these trucks? Well, it doesn't matter. They're clean, they're polished, they're in line. It really didn't matter. So after the big IG inspection is what they called it, they would say like, hey, you guys did a good job. I go, of what? Just to look good? And not to get down into the nitty gritty of what's really going on in the life of this motor pool, and into the mechanics, what do they see, and the people who use the trucks, what are they saying about the trucks? And I just go like, as long as it looked nice, you passed. And there's a lot of people today in churches, they think if they can come and look nice, play the part, that's all they need to do. Jesus, on the other hand, always talks about the heart. What's going on in your heart? And the only way that we are going to be righteous is by God's righteousness, not by my own. Here's some of the things that I've heard, and I've kind of thought of these things myself growing up. As a young Christian, even before I was a Christian, I could see the ways that people, what they did in the church. And I'm just kind of going like, do they really believe this stuff? Or are they just going through the motions? And I found out they're just going through the motions. And so this is what I got caught up in myself. I'm thinking that if I'm a good enough person, God is going to love me more. Anybody here ever have that thought?
Sure.
You know? And so how long can you please God by doing things where that he is going like shaking his head and going like, that's a good person right there. And you might get away with that for a little while, but what's the next day like? You have to start all over again. And what it comes down to is that God's love for you and for me, it's hard to wrap your head around this, brain around this. His love for you and me has never changed. It has always been important to him that he conveys his love. He loves you just as much today as he's always loved you when you were conceived. It's never changed. And so I have to think, well, what kind of righteousness is this? It's not based on what I can do, because one of the things was, I'm going to start going to church. Beginning of the new year, 2023, I think I'm going to start going to church more than what I used to. Because God's going to smile on me because I'm doing that. Ever think that way? In God's eyes, all these things that I'm going to say to you are filthy rags. They mean nothing to you. And Isaiah the prophet has also said, you know, all these things are just filthy rags to God. What he really wants is your heart. What's going on in your heart? I'll give up something for Lent. You know, Lent is coming. Gotta give up something for like 40 days and then go back to it. Thinking that God is going to be pleased that you're giving up something for 40 days, but then after 40 days you can do whatever you want and go back what you gave up. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to Bible studies like I've never done before. I'm going to live a better life by cleaning up my act. I'm going to give more to the church than I have before. And I'm going to try to keep the Ten Commandments every day. And so we call this performance-driven life. You think you can do something to earn brownie points with God. And they can look upon you as a wonderful person because you've done these kinds of things. Well, let me tell you something. God is not like that. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot do a bunch of things to make God happier with you because he's already happy with you. He already loves you like he always has loved you. But he loves you, but he hates the sin that we do. And that seems to be a real problem today for a lot of church folk, especially. God loves me, but he hates my sin. Well, I don't like that. I want him to love me all the time. Well, remember that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, not to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. And he came because he loves you and he loves me. And he wanted to see us saved. He wants us to know what it's like to have the assurance that we know where we're going to go when we die, which is heaven. That's why he came. To seek sinners and to save them. And sinners we are. And so he provides the righteous that we need and we cannot do or have in our own strength. We find in Romans 17, for in the gospel, listen to this, for in the gospel, a righteousness from, not you, not yourself, a righteousness from God is revealed in the gospel. There would be no gospel if Jesus did not come and die on the cross and rise again on the third day. Jesus is the gospel that we have. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. John says that in 14:6. But go back to Romans 1:17 to finish it out. It says, a righteousness that is by, if it comes from God, then it also comes, is revealed by faith. And you go back to the Old Testament prophet, I think it's Habakkuk 2:4. Where even in the Old Testament says that the righteous will live by faith. That's the righteousness that God gives to us through his Son, is the gospel. It's just believing and trusting in Him, who He says He is. So is Jesus your Savior? Are you living for Jesus, or are you saying like, well, I want to, but I know I mess it up along the way, but I still will stay true to Him as much as I can, and I need God's help to do that. But I know that Jesus died for me. And He loves me. And I love Him. It's not a perfect kind of a love because I'm a sinner. But God gives me the righteousness when He looks at me. He sees me as a sinner. But when I come to believe in Jesus, I'm covered by Him. When God looks at me, He doesn't see me anymore. He sees Jesus and His righteousness that I'm covered in. Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke about what was inside a person's heart. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were more concerned about outward appearance. And you see that over and over again. The Pharisee would go to a place to pray, making sure everybody could see where he was praying, and he would say what? I pray that I'm not like that person over there. Jesus never, ever prayed that way. Jesus loved that person over there and died for that person over there too. But the Pharisees never caught it. Never got it. Because they thought as long as they followed the laws of the Old Testament and taught the people to follow them, that they were righteous. And they missed it by a mile. And that's why people love to hear Jesus preach and teach. Heavenly Father, it's a short sermon, but it's to the point. Forgive us for being performance-driven or performance-motivated in thinking that we can make You love us more by doing things for You. What a trap that is. We do what we do because we love You, and we don't expect anything in return. That's what a real servant is. Thank You for loving us the way You do. Thank You for forgiving us when we ask to be forgiven. Thank You for assuring us that we are going to heaven because we are believing and trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ. It's all about You, Lord, not about me. Thank You for the work that You are doing in the hearts and lives here at Harbor of Joy and many other churches in the community and in the area and around the world. We never know who's watching us. We never know who's listening to us. And we might be the only Bible that people will ever see or read in their lives. Help us. Help us to be faithful as we serve You. And may we do it with much joy. In Jesus' name, we pray. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
hearts of the people. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
the glory,
and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Okay, I know I just blew it because it's not how we do things here. But so be it. We're going to have communion, and it's for those of you that love Jesus, or you want Jesus to be a part of your life today and every day. It's for you. So we practice an open communion. And so, you know, if you're not confirmation, if you haven't gone through confirmation, and your children type of thing, you're sure welcome to come up and be blessed, but you won't be able to take the sacraments that are given because you don't know what you're doing unless mom and dad have taught you. And if mom and dad have taught you, well then, let me know that. Just let me know that. We don't want to deny you anything, but we believe it's very important that you know what goes on with communion. It's the only thing where there is a curse, that if you take it unworthily, you can get sick and you can die. And some of you probably never heard that, but it says that in Corinthians. And that's why it's so important. But it's a wonderful time as well as we commune with God, we come to God, it's one-on-one with God. We can confess sin, we can rejoice, we can just thank you. So if you're here today, and you're not, you know, it has nothing to do with membership, but just between you and God. There's two stations, one down here, that you can come and go back and sit down. You'll be dismissed by an usher. If you want to go up to the altar up there and kneel, you can do that and stay there as long as you want. This is up to you. So there is gluten-free wafers. They're in a little plastic thing. If you need that, and if you are looking for grape juice rather than wine, just hold your hand out like this. Those that are serving you will know that you want grape juice and not wine. So let's look at what Jesus is doing as we come and partake in his communion. It's he that said it, not me. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, and who betrayed him? One of his own disciples by the name of? Judas Iscariot. The night in which he was betrayed, this is when he went through this with his disciples. He took bread, and after giving thanks, he said to them, "This is my body given to you. Eat all of it. My body that is to be remembered, broken, as I've come to save you from your brokenness and your sin." He then lifted up the cup. And again he said to his disciples, "Drink all of it in remembrance of me. It is his blood." I don't understand how it becomes his blood. But there again, we do this by faith. We receive his body, we receive his blood by faith. And he does something through that. It's kind of a mystery. To encourage and to strengthen your faith as you come to him today. But to do this until he comes again. So with that, let's say the Apostles' Creed. We'll recite it together. And be mindful of what you're saying in this creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary.
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us ask the servers to come, and once we wash our hands here, you will be ushered and given the nod to come forward.
I'm
don't be shy or bashful if you can't walk up here or whatever. And that's okay. But I just want to make sure everybody that's certain. If not, just raise your hand. Good job, whoever did that. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.